Well, good morning. How are we this morning? It's good to see you. It's good to be back in this little home. Some of us last weekend were in another little home down at Waterslea for Kingsway Getaway. We had a great time for those that could get there. It's always good fun and just a really good way to deepen relationships and get to know people in a whole new way. That's usually good. No, it was good. Dave talked about the Kingsway app, which you can download. And one of the reasons I would encourage you to do that is we've started a new series here at Kingsway, which we're going to be doing this month. And then again, picking it up, I think, in June as well, around spiritual disciplines. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the concept of spiritual disciplines. But the first three messages in the series were at camp, at Getaway. And so if you weren't there, you need to have a listen to those messages. I sort of did an opener, then Kim and Dave spoke about the first two spiritual disciplines. And that word we discovered is a scary word. Or two words, really, isn't it? Spiritual disciplines. You know, we're talking about it in our life group this week. I have a life group that meets Thursday morning, bright and early, 6:30, and a bunch of guys meet. And we're talking about how the idea of spiritual disciplines kind of has this very kind of heavy burden, duty, obligation sense around it. And part of the goal of this series is actually to help us reframe that, to help us get a fresh perspective. And in a sense, what we're saying is kind of get rid of all your preconceived ideas about what it means to engage in spiritual disciplines and come to them with a fresh hope and a fresh heart and a fresh mind and a fresh view, so that we can together go on this journey about what it means for us as a community of faith to develop practices in our life that are going to help us become and be all that God has called us and created us to be. Practices that we develop to grow and produce transformation and freedom. You see, the goal of spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices is actually freedom. It's transformation. It's not to kind of burden us and make us feel heavy, because, you know, I spoke about this at camp, the difference between trying hard and training wisely. You know, so often we have this idea, and I know for me growing up, that was very much my thinking. You know, I've got to try harder to be a good Christian. I've got to try harder to read my Bible, try harder to pray. And this constantly kind of feel like this religious burden that if I don't try harder, then I'm not going to, you know, be good. And this difference between trying harder and training wisely. You know, I talked about if you're going to do a marathon, you don't just try and do a marathon. That would be ludicrous, right? Thank you. You train to do a marathon so that you can be successful, so that it's not going to damage your body, so that you can get to the finish line in, I mean, I don't know why you'd want to do a marathon personally. I know some of you have done them, and I take my hat off to you, but the thought of 42 kilometers, the thought of 4 kilometers, come on, let's be serious. But you don't just try to do a marathon. And the life we're in is a race. We're running this race of faith that God calls us into. And I've seen it so many times and experienced it myself. You know, we try hard to do the right thing. We try hard to be a good Christian boy or girl. And what happens is that we fall over, we fail, we get it wrong. And so what do? Well, I know what we do. We decide we'll try harder, or we just stop trying at all. And this idea around if we want to be all that we can be, if we want to experience the life that God has for us in all its fullness, if we want to experience transformation, like Paul talks about when he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and the word that he uses is metamorpho, which is that transformation, that metamorphosis that we would describe from like a caterpillar to a butterfly, and yet our transformation is even greater and more spectacular than that. If we want to experience that transformation so that we're living our lives and running our race in freedom, We've got to train wisely, not just try hard. The Bible says that we are in a race, and that all the runners in the race get a prize. So run to win. Well, that requires us to train. In Hebrews it says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of people whose lives tell us what faith means. So let's run the race that's before us and never give up. We should remove anything from our lives that's going to get in the way and the sin that easily holds us back. So this journey for us around the idea of spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices or things that we need to bring into our world, into our lives, practices that are going to help us be transformed and free, ultimately to be more like Jesus. So that when we are running that race, we're hitting our stride. And it feels good. So I'd encourage you to grab the app on your phone so you can listen to Dave and Kim's messages about the first two practices. We talked about the practice of celebration and the practice of, does anyone remember? Slowing down. Very good. You know, that we in our culture are all impacted by hurry sickness. And we unpacked what that means. And it's interesting because when we talked about this in our life group, and I said to the guys in my life group, what would you say are spiritual disciplines? Slowing down and celebration weren't one of them. So it's fresh, right? These are things that I believe God is calling us to grow in and learn how to live and be part of our lives. So if I said to you, what would you describe as a spiritual discipline? What's the first thing you'd think of? Quiet time? Prayer? Solitude? Reading the Bible? Giving? Worship? Yeah, it's good. So today, I have the privilege of the third practice or spiritual discipline, and it was just mentioned, and it's probably the one that the whole world knows the most, and that's the spiritual discipline or practice of prayer. So let me pray, and then we'll finish up. Oh, you got excited then for a minute, didn't you? Early mark. I actually was really challenged this week around this subject of prayer, the spiritual discipline of prayer. Because for me growing up, prayer was a little bit like that. It felt like a discipline in the negative sense. And I think if you could sum up my prayer life as a kid growing up, would probably be the word repetitive. You know, I had kind of my prescribed prayer list or what I thought I needed to pray to be a good Christian. And, you know, I just went through my list. Growing up, I just had my little prayer list. My repetitive, it was either recited or read or rehearsed. And not that that's bad, because that in and of itself can create good habits. But it's not what I believe God calls us into in a life of prayer. So I challenged myself this week about, you know, most of the people here, I mean, they know about prayer. I'm assuming most of you pray. Maybe I'm assuming wrong. No, I'm not. Like, I know most of you pray. I know you believe in the power of prayer. I know that you believe God hears and listens to your prayer. I know that, you know, God answers up. You believe that, right? So I've challenged myself, what can I say about prayer that you've never heard before? Probably nothing. What could I teach you about prayer? What is it, God, that you want me to say that's going to create a shift in us as a community about what it means to pray. So you can see why I'm challenged, right? You're all looking at me going, you can't say nothing. Well, maybe I can. Maybe I've got a little secret up my sleeve. I remember, I think there was this transition for me in my prayer life. I went from kind of the repetitive, rehearsed prayers and kind of moved into a different phase, probably in my late teens onwards for quite a number of years. I moved into this season of what I would call the rescue prayers, the help me prayers, where kind of like the only time I prayed was when I was in a place where I needed help. Or when I was in a crisis. And it's kind of funny because there's two ways this can go that I've noticed in my own journey. And one way is where we go about our life doing our stuff, kind of not really acknowledging God in the journey. We're just, you know, we're using our gifts, we're using our strengths, we're just going for life, doing the best we can. And then something happens and we hit a crisis and it's all of a sudden, oh, I better pray. Or, that's the crisis prayer, right? That's the help me prayer. Help me, God. Save me, deliver me. Get me out of this situation. Or, we do the other way, I think. So that to me is like kind of what we do when we're sort of growing up. But then I think when we become more mature, what we do is we pray to God first. And we ask God in to help us in this situation. And then, when it doesn't go the way we wanted it to go, we revert back to doing it ourselves anyway. So it's the same outcome, right? Are you hearing me? Is this familiar? Or is it just me? Am I the only one that, you know, prays to God to come and help this and then it doesn't kind of go the way I wanted it to go? Because I know best. And so then all of a sudden, I take over again. So that was kind of that phase of my journey. And then I think as I got a little bit older, I moved from the repetitive to the rescue prayers. I moved into this, I think, a whole new understanding about what prayer is. And the only way I can really describe this is as a relationally responsive prayer. And one of the challenges around prayer is I think there's not really a prescriptive model. So it's not really about you doing prayer the way I do prayer. It's not about comparing how you pray to other people to how other people pray. You know, I remember listening to this guy speak once, and he was talking. He was a pastor of a church actually in South Africa, and he was sharing the story about how he gets up at 4:30 every morning and prays for 4 hours, and you know, that's why his church is like going so good. And I'm there sitting to myself going, oh dear, I can't do that. I can't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray for 4 hours. I mean, my attention span is about 4 minutes. And we can look at the way other people do it and think, well, if I don't do it that way, then I'm not going to get the results that they get. But what we need to learn, like training, is that it's different for everybody. The goal is the same. Is that you would be transformed and free. That you would have a flourishing, growing, exciting relationship with God. Not that you would tick the boxes of, okay, now I'm praying like a Christian should pray. I mean, we do it so kind of naturally at times. You know, when we pray in public, we throw all the kind of words in, don't we? The little phrases. We want to make it sound like right, don't we? I mean, it's got to be right, surely. There's got to be a correct way of praying. Yeah.
our Father who art in heaven. And look, there's nothing wrong with all of that, but it's not the heart of prayer. And the one thing I want you to get around this idea is it's not how you pray that's important. It's the relationship you have with God in the moment of your prayer. It's what is God doing and saying and speaking and leading. Because we can have the best. One of the things that Jesus detested about the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day was all the religiosity around prayer. Jesus said, don't make a show of it. Just be with me. We can get caught up in the how and we miss the why. The heart behind what God wants to do and bring in our prayer. So for me, what has happened particularly over the last sort of 7 or 8 years of my journey with God, is that my prayers have become quite simple. A simple conversation with God about what matters to us. Now, when I use the word us, I'm referring to God and me. So my prayers have become this conversation with God about what matters to me and God. And it's actually revolutionized the way that I pray. And if the one thing that you take home from today would be to ask God that question in your prayer, what matters to you? I think that what matters to us can sometimes be very different to what matters to God. And I think that God is interested in us. He's interested in what matters to us. He's interested in the things that concern us. He's interested in your desires, your dream, your heart. He's interested in you and what you do and what you think and what you feel because he loves you incredibly. But he's probably not interested in whether the Sharkies win or not. So I don't know if you pray that. That's a crisis prayer, yeah. Indeed. Although the Tigers can't talk, can they, Andrew? So, I don't think that matters to God. Even though it matters to you. But what matters to God is that you enjoy sport and you enjoy the thrill and the excitement and how you pass that on to your son and that develops camaraderie and family spirit and fun in the family and something that you do together and it creates memories and that's what God's interested in. That's what matters to God. And so sometimes what matters to us doesn't necessarily matter to God in its exact, but it still matters to God. Because he's interested in what the outcome of it, how it impacts your life, your family. I don't necessarily believe that it matters to God what house you live in, or how nice your house is, or the price you get when you sell your house. But I think it matters to God that you create a home, a place of belonging, a place where your kids and your family and your grandkids and can feel loved and accepted, and a place where they're safe. I think that matters to God. So sometimes I think what matters to us and what matters to God can kind of almost be these two little worlds out here, and the power of alignment is bringing our worlds together. So when what matters to God matters to us, there's power and peace in that. Dallas Willard said it this way. He said, prayer, perhaps more than any other activity, is the concrete expression of the fact that we are invited into a relationship with God. Prayer is talking with God about what we are doing together. And I think the challenge for us sometimes is prayer can become a conversation about what we want God to do or what we're doing. What Dallas Willard is saying is prayer is talking with God about what we're doing together. So it actually becomes a relationship piece. You know, it'd be like me having a relationship with Jen and just saying, okay, here's the list of things I want you to do for me. I'll be back when you're done. Somehow I don't think that's going to work real well. You know, I believe wholeheartedly that God hears our prayers. That despite the format or the style or even the agenda, that God is a gracious God. He still listens to the crisis prayers. Even if you've ignored God for the last 20 years and you pray one of those crisis prayers, you know what? God still listens and still responds because that's the heart and nature of who God is. I love that. You know, you see that in the story of the prodigal son. He can go wandering away for days and months and years and squander all the money, but as soon as he recognizes his need for his father and returns back, what does he get? A big hug. That's God. I believe God hears the simple prayers, the cries, the petitions, the short, even the confused. I've prayed a few of them. He hears them all. I believe that God acts in response to our prayers. Maybe not in the way that we kind of sometimes think He or want Him to, right? Because we have a plan. We have an agenda of how our prayers should play out. And sometimes it's different to God's. And so prayer is also about learning to trust God in your journey. That He knows best and that He knows what's best for you. But so often we think we know what's best for us, which is why what happens is we pray something and God's answer is kind of different to what we wanted, but it's what we needed. See, because God often won't give you what you want. He'll give you what you need. They're two very different things. But God, I want this. I think this is what I need. God knows what you need. He created you. We have to learn to trust God. That He loves us more than we know, more than we can comprehend, sometimes more than we can even communicate or feel or express. And because of that love for each one of us, we need to know and know that we know that God has your best interests at heart. He knows what you need. More than you do. In the book that John Ortberg has written called The Life I've Always Wanted, which is a book that we're kind of using as part of our reference for this series, he talks about this incident that happens in Revelation chapter 8. I'm just going to read you the text. It says this in Revelation 8, and this is a little bit kind of poetic and wordy, and it's painting this kind of picture that, and John is writing this. It says, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. It's a weird thing, isn't it, to say that? I find that there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Oh, yeah, about 30 minutes. Heaven went quiet. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God and to whom were given the seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden pan for incense. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's holy people. And the angel put this offering on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke from the incense went up from the angel's hand to God with the prayers of his people. And so John describes this scene as this remarkable moment when the prayers of God's people were offered up and rose up to God, that all of heaven went silent. That the silence was in response to the prayers of God's people. where the prayers of God's people actually interrupted heaven. There was all this stuff going on. And as the prayers rose up towards God, heaven went silent for 30 minutes just to focus on the prayers of God's people. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand, and all of heaven went quiet. So cool. That's how important, that's how valuable God places on the prayers of his people. That you are heard. That Jesus, then it says, it goes on that then there was thunder and lightning and all this stuff happening in response to the prayers of God's people. All of heaven stops so the prayers of the saints, yours and mine, every one of them, can rise before God. They are heard. They matter. Prayers of real human beings like you and me interrupt heaven. Because history belongs to those who pray. We may never know the true effects of our prayer. But we do know this. History belongs to those who pray. You don't know how many people have been strengthened because you asked God to encourage them. How many people have been healed because you prayed for their bodies. How many people that have been spiritual runaways have come back to God because you prayed for them and their souls. None of us may ever know the true effect of our prayers, but know this, prayer changes things. Not only does prayer change circumstances, mostly it changes us in the circumstances. You know, not that I would ascribe this movie as a great spiritual biblical piece, but Bruce Almighty, in the movie where, and the girl, she's praying that she would have more patience. And she has this conversation with God, who's Morgan Freeman, of course. And Morgan Freeman says to her at the bar, of all places, you know, he says, so when someone prays for patience, what do you think's better? Click my fingers and make them more patient? Or do they lead them into circumstances so that they can grow in patience? Oh, but Jesus, I would love you just to click your fingers and make me more patient. That would be much easier, right? It's not how God works. Because it's all about growing and learning and developing and becoming and being transformed and being free. So my big lesson in prayer over the last 8 years is this. Is praying what matters to Jesus and me. It's my posture of prayer. It's my starting point, it's my middle, and it's my end. It's the question I ask and the conversation I have with God. God is incredibly interested in what matters to me. What's on my heart, what's in my life, my activity, my family, my future, my dreams, my desires. But what I've discovered is that my agenda is not mine anymore. And that's been a big shift for me in my prayer life. I am becoming more and more driven by what matters to Jesus. And that's the beauty of our metamorpho, of our transformation, of us becoming all that we can be, from the caterpillar to the butterfly. And often, I'll be honest, these two worlds, they collide in a rumbling and a wrestling. But when alignment comes, it's so powerfully peaceful. You know, I meet a lot of people in our context, in this society, who just are aching to feel content and at peace in a chaotic world. We live in a chaotic world, right? Things are forever changing. There's not a lot of certainty. You know, we experience both the good, the bad, the ugly, the suffering, the pain, the great, the triumphs, the exhilarating, the fantastic, the sad, the grief, the loss. We walk through this chaotic world of ups and downs of emotions all the time. And a lot of us, we cry at God, in all of that, I'd love to just feel content and at peace. And I believe that when what matters to us and what matters to Jesus come together in alignment, that there's peace in the chaos. Prayer is talking with God about what we're doing together, what matters to us together, and then responding to that conversation. You know, I've said this before, that we need to know that a lot of the time we are part of the answer to our own prayer. You know, it's not like we just throw the prayer out there. All right, God, go and do your thing. That's not how it works when what matters to God and what matters to us come into alignment, because we pray in conversation to God, but then we also then respond to what it is that we're talking to God about. So my question to God this week was this: what matters to you, God, today in this moment? What matters to you, God, that you want every person here to get hold of, to take away? And this is what I wrote down. This is what I felt God said. I want my church to know that I love them. Good start. That I love being with them, listening to them. I love hearing their heart, knowing what's going on in their world, their struggles, their challenges, their victories, their dreams, their journey. And I love aligning their hearts with mine. And I want you to tell them to ask me what matters to Jesus. What's important here for you and for us? So the one thing to take away from today in your prayer journey, in your desire and heart to be free and transformed in the spiritual discipline and practice of prayer, is to ask God what matters to Him. A great place to start every prayer. So what matters to you, God, in this situation? What matters to you, God, in this circumstance of my life? What matters to you, God, in this season, with this problem, with this conflict? What's important to you, Jesus, here? Not what's important to me. What's important to you? And let's rumble and wrestle with those things and come to this place of alignment. Because when what matters to me is aligned with what matters to God, the outcome is powerful, peaceful, and productive. My journey personally and practically over the last 8 years is around three big ideas. One being listening. You know, sometimes we just have to stop talking for long enough for God to say something. The other is around courage, because it actually requires us to let go of our agenda, of our need to be right, of our desire to be successful or achieve. And not that necessarily those things are bad, but it cannot be what drives us, because it doesn't matter to God in the same way that it matters to us. It's not that God doesn't want you to be successful or significant or achieve stuff. So it requires courage to be vulnerable and real and let go of that stuff and begin to align ourselves with the agenda of God about what matters to Him. And the last thing is around consistency. Prayer is not meant to be a religious thing that we do, but it does need to be a consistent thing that we live. We've got to find our groove. We've got to find our rhythm. We've got to find our place. We've got to prioritize conversation with God about what it is that He's doing, what it is that matters to Him. Regardless of what you're walking through or walking in, God has an answer to that question. God, what matters to you in this? You know, I'm losing my job and I'm not sure what I'm going to do next. God, what's important to you here? Well, His response might be totally different to what it is that your agenda is. And that's where the peace and the power is bringing that alignment together. Because for God, it might be, well, you know what matters to me is that you trust me with your future. What matters to God, what matters to me in this moment is that you believe that I have your back and that I love you more than anything. And I'm not going to let you down. That I'm not going to leave you alone. That I'm not going to... God, we're praying for this person who has cancer. What matters to you here? Get God's heart. Get His perspective. And align your prayers to what... And all of a sudden, that's where the power and the peace comes. What matters to you, God, in this? That they know they're loved. That they know that this isn't the end. That they know that there's more. That they know that I'm with them. That I am their comfort, their source of comfort and strength. That's what matters. You know, I remember from personal experience when Jen's dad was diagnosed with cancer, praying my agenda. And of course, I'm not beating myself up, because why wouldn't I want him to be healed? We don't want to lose people. And God can heal. I know He can. I've seen Him do it. And so, of course, we're going to pray, God, we want to see Him healed. That'd be awesome. But I didn't ask the question, God, what matters to you? What's important to you in this? It was His heart. It was His soul. It's what mattered to God in that moment more than anything else. And, you know, we might not understand what's going on in the bigger picture, you know, because it took 9 weeks from diagnosis to death. But God changed His heart. And even though we walked through grief, and there was suffering, and there was chaos, and there was questions, and there was... What is important to you, God, in this? If I can get that, creates peace and power and productiveness. But we've got to be consistent. We've got to find our place. We've got to find that part of our day, of our week, where we move away from what's going on out there and sit with God and ask Him, God, what's important to you here? What matters to you most in this moment, in this circumstance, in this issue, in this relationship, in this burden, in this crisis? What matters to you, God? And I'll be totally honest. I'll tell God what matters to me. You know, God can handle it. Well, I'll tell you what matters to me, God. This is what matters to me. My heart is aching. I'm feeling this. I'm confused. I'm hurt. I'm grieving. I'm lost. I don't know where to go. That's what matters to me. I want answers. That's what matters to me. I want to know. I want the door to open. That's what matters to me. I want the provision to come. I want the floodgates of heaven to open and billions of dollars to pour down. That's what matters to me. Whatever it is, God can handle it. But don't stop at that moment. Ask God what matters to Him. What's important to you, God, in this? And most of the time, it's not actually a rocket science question. It's actually really simple. And most of the time, we actually know what matters to God. So it's just bringing those two things into alignment. And that's where the power and the peace of God is. Let me pray. What matters to you, God? What matters to you right now? What's important to you in this moment? For all these people that have just sat and listened to me waffle on for 25 minutes, what matters most? What is important to you, God? What is important that they get, that they hear, that they understand, that they know? It's important that you know God loves you. It matters to God that you know He hears your prayers. It matters to God that you know that He eagerly awaits to spend time with you. It matters to God that you know that your dreams and your desires and your struggles and your challenges, they do matter to God. And He wants to be a part of your moments, your walking, your sleeping, your working, your living, your loving, your relationships, because He has so much to bring that world. What's important to God in this moment is that you know that He's here, that He loves you, and that He wants to do life with you, alongside you, so that you can experience transformation and freedom that you've never imagined possible. That you would walk with power and peace and purpose. It's not about your style, your format, your structure. That doesn't matter to God. What matters to God is that you prioritize being with Him. Amen.